There's an army that is rising out of dry bones. Global Body Bureaus, a home of encounters, transformation, and miracles by the power of God. A place where rooted, rugged, and dogged generous are raised. To connect to the ministry, listen to Pastor Victor Onisher. Follow us on our social media platform on Facebook as Global Body Bureaus Interdenominational Ministry Incorporated, on Instagram and Telegram at Global Body Bureaus Interdenominational Ministry. For further inquiries, call 0816-594-8451 or 0903-246-3339 or 0703-814-3488. Sit back and listen as the president of our ministry, Pastor Victor Onisher, bring forth God's words.
It's always a privilege to stand behind the podium. Lord, we ask that this afternoon you will unveil your counsel to us. As he spake, the Spirit entered into me. Lord, speak to us in the language that we will understand. Let Jesus alone be glorified. Those on ground and those online, we ask that everyone be blessed. Preach upon your word. Take all the praise. The vow is a commitment, the glory is yours. We will not share in your glory. Breathe upon your word. Jesus' mighty name of prayer. Take your seat in God's house to your left, to your right. Extend your hand to your neighbor. Shake hands with someone close to you. Shake hands with seven persons.
Blue sky and the sea.
Extend those hands to seven persons.
Rainbow, sunshine.
Do we do the smile on your face?
Jesus, the maker of the more. Everywhere I go,
I see you.
In the blue sky.
Extend your hand to seven persons. Hear it.
You are a signer. You are the door. And everything is yours.
Oh,
precious Jesus.
Precious Jesus.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, oh.
You're welcome in the mighty name of Jesus. It's my pleasure to have you. We are still on our series on living a meaningful life. And today will be part two. We saw our aim. Our aim is for everyone to live meaningfully. Our aim number two is for everyone to live a balanced Christian life. A balanced Christian life. The book of Ephesians 5, verse number 15. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. The Bible speaking, it said, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. We said, a believer in Christ Jesus, born again, can be living his life like a fool. So the Bible recommends that we should walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Matthew chapter 7, everyone. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. To verse number 27.
Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24.
Yes.
"Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it."
Hallelujah. Where we just read, the Bible gives us an account of two men. Brother A, the Bible said, he was building on the rock. So he spent time to dig deep. The Bible speaking that anyone that hears the saying of mine and does them is likened to a wise man. And whosoever that hears the saying of mine and does them not is likened to a foolish man who built his house on sand. And we said living a meaningful life is building your life on the rock. On this mountain, we are trusting God that everyone that sits under the Commission Global Body Mirrors, your life will be balanced. So the aim of this series is for all to live a balanced Christian life. And I want to pray for someone hearing the sound of my voice that you will live a balanced Christian life. In the mighty name of Jesus. I'm going to be as fast as possible in the first service. Then second service, I'm going to be speaking to all the businessmen and women, boys and girls, and all the hand workers, and all who are trusting God to become kingdom financiers. We looked at our course outline last week, and we looked at definition of term. Now, because of last week was the anointing service, we could not do much. So today, we'll look at definition of term. We said number one, living a meaningful life is living to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life and destiny. That it is said that you are living a meaningful life if you are living your life in accordance to God's plan and God's purpose for your life and for your destiny. We said number two, living a meaningful life is living a balanced life. It's living a balanced life. That's to say that every sector and department of your life is in place. Every sector, every department of your life is in place. I want to list the sectors of life. We said number one, your spiritual life must be in place. Number two, we said your finances should be in place. We said number three, your marital life should be in place. If you are married, there should be peace in your marriage. And we said number four, that should be intellectually sound. And we said number five, you should relate socially, you should be balanced. Now I want you to note this, that a balanced life makes unbelievers to want to serve your God. What will make unbelievers to want to serve your God is when you are living a balanced Christian life. That your Christian growth is not lopsided. Not that spiritually you are doing well, but academically you are a dollar. Intellectually you are down. No. Not that spiritually you are doing well and financially you are down. No. Somebody say balance. So a balanced Christian life makes unbelievers to want to serve your God. Then we said a balanced Christian life make you a positive reference to your generation. Write it down. A balanced Christian life makes you a positive reference to your generation. In other words, when they want to point at a brother that truly knows God, that's tongue talking, that lives by the principles of the scripture, and he's the best student in class, he's the best student on campus, that could point at you. You hear people say things like, don't try him, oh, as he prays in tongues like that, he's the best student in his department. Then it will be good after you are done with your school and all of that, then you get a well paid job. Then the next thing, your finances is in place. Now when we say, okay, we are trusting God to hold a crusade in Abuja, and you can write a check and give to the ushers and say, please tell daddy not to announce it again. It's done. It's not the prayer point. It's one of my son that will always say, sir, this one is not the prayer point. I think we need more time in the ministry. It's not a prayer point. Meaning, as long as I'm alive, God should count me responsible that this one is done. So we need to be balanced financially. In our other series on finances, I told us the role of money. Now, how many of us remember our series that I spoke to us, that we did our present income analyzer? How much you need for house rent, how much you need for feeding, how much you need for the school fees of your children, and all of that. Now, after that service, many of us, our eyes were open to the fact that life is expensive, life is costly. So that's the more reason why we need to live a balanced Christian life, so that our generation can point out at us and say, this one, I love the way she's living her Christian life. She's balanced. So it becomes a positive reference point, not a negative reference point. Where people say, if Christianity is like this, I think I will not be a Christian. I want to say this, that by what you are hearing today, and by what you are going to hear in this series, it will cause you to live a balanced Christian life in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
So I want you to note this, that a balanced Christian life makes you a light to your generation. And by being a light, you end up bringing glory to God. It makes you a light to your generation. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16, it says, let your light so shine before men, not before angels, before men. Hear this. God has no problem. The angels have no problem, because where God is staying over there in heaven, the moon is made of gold. Heaven is made of gold. So the problem is on earth. So men, we have to see, if you say you are a believer, if you say you are a child of God, and the God that we serve lives in the heavens, and the heavens are made of gold, so people want to see that light in your life. In our series on wealth and prosperity, I said poverty can never advance the gospel. So it takes money to lift up the banner of Christ. Remember, it was Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible says he was a wealthy man. It was his tomb that they used in burying Jesus. Or else the body of Jesus could have remained on the cross. So it takes money to lift up the name of Jesus. So I want to say this afternoon, that when you live a balanced life, you become a light to your generation. I know God is going to help us in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Point number three. Living a meaningful life, number three. Now, we're still on definition of term. Living a meaningful life, number three. Living a meaningful life is living a life that brings glory, praise, and honor to God. Living a meaningful life is living a life that brings honor, praise, and glory to God. There are certain lifestyles that will never bring praise, that will never bring honor, that will never bring glory to God. Part of the reason why I will continue to encourage us to go for our first degree, our master's, go for our PhD, and be awarded as a professor is very simple. Because once you are there at the peak of your field, you can defend the cause of the kingdom. I knew of a few persons that got admission in Benue State University. All that we did was just give their name. That was it. Guess you the same thing. Now, if we have so many bankers in the ministry, my peer and the rest that goes to the bank, they don't need to go and queue. It's just one call and they do the transaction. Kevin is in Echo Bank those days. Get to Echo, it's just a call. He comes to the ministry, we give him what? Then he goes. And so do you get it now? So being at the peak will be able to affect our generation well. Now imagine that you are a general in the army, and there are people that are attached to you, there are soldiers that are attached to you. Then you are coming to a meeting like this. All the soldiers have to come with you. They have to hear the same thing that you are hearing. They have to. Is somebody getting what God is saying? Now you are the manager in PZ, the overall manager in Nigeria. Now if you summon all the managers for God's word, everyone will come. So I want to say this afternoon that living a meaningful life, it brings honor, it brings praise and glory to God. Question: is your life bringing glory and praise to God? Is your life bringing glory to God? If no, then you are living a wasted life. The first prayer we're going to pray this afternoon is, Lord, I want to live a meaningful life. Rise your feet 1 minute as we talk to God. Lord, I want my life to bring praise and glory to your name. I want my life to bring praise and glory to your name. Lift your voice as you make that your prayer. I want my life to bring praise and glory to your name. My life must bring praise and glory to God. My life. It must. My life must glorify God. Oh, my life must glorify God. It must. Lord, we ask that you will cause our life to bring glory to your name. Take all the praise, Father. Jesus' mighty name of prayer.
Amen.
Be seated in God's house. Now, to take us further, we're going to be looking at the practicality of life. The practicality of life. Several years ago, I heard God's servant, Bishop David Onyedepo, one of my uncommon mentors, he said, we have learned mathematics for too long. It is time to learn life-matics. We have learned mathematics for too long. It is time for us to learn life-matics. He said, and I quote, there are many of the things we learn in school, and all those divide the X. So there are many times you wonder, all this quadratic, all those calculus, what are we going to use it to do? Really, when you stand before life, then you say divide the X, it doesn't make sense. So this afternoon, we're going to be looking at the practicality of life. And trusting God that everyone is going to be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Now the book of James, James chapter 4, verse number 13 to 14. James chapter 4, verse number 13 to verse number 14. That's right.
Verse number 13.
Yes.
Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get again. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life?
For what is your life?
It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away.
Our point of emphasis is on verse number 14, everyone. Fix your eyes on that scripture. Whereas ye know not what shall be tomorrow. For what is life? Apostle James was asking, what is life? It is even a vapor. Vapor. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. Vapor. That appeareth for a little time and vanish away. So the question is, what is life? Number one, I want to find life. Life is the period between birth and death of a human being. It's the period between birth and death of a human being. On a certain day you were giving birth to, a day will come, either you like it or not, you will die. Now we must come to terms to this. So the very day that you were born, you started living your life. And the day will break upon you, which you will go to meet with God. So that period between birth and death is what is called life or lifetime. If you are here, say amen. Number two definition of life. We're looking at what is life. Life is the aspect of existence that processes, acts, evaluates, reacts, and revolves through growth. Life is the aspect of existence that processes, that acts, that evolves, or that evaluates, reacts, and evolves through growth. I want to say this, that as the day goes by, a child has 1 year. Another day we break upon him, we come 2 years. So he begins to grow. So life permits growth. Now every time they announce my birthday, everybody clap hands. And what comes to my mind, I told my wife the other day, I'm getting old, they are clapping. I wish I can rewind my age again. But that possibility does not exist. Now what is life? Number three, we're going to define life number three in accordance to James chapter 4, verse number 13 to 14. What is life? Apostle James said, life is a vapor. According to Apostle James, he was saying life is a vapor. Now, a practical illustration of vapor is that early morning dew that appears as soon as sun begins to brighten up, it goes. So, Apostle James was saying, he opened the window to us, telling us that life is brief. That's what he's meaning by life is a vapor. So, if we want to define life in accordance to Apostle James, he was saying, life is a vapor. Your life is brief. Meaning you have a short time on the face of the earth. Even though you live 100 years, 120, 150, Apostle James was saying that you have just a short time. I remember while I was working with God's servant, Reverend Phoenix, he wanted to catch a flight in Abuja. We were flying out. Hitman and his very good friend, Evan Sunday Oguche, so they were flying out to one of the countries. So God's servant was, Pastor Victor, please hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. I must not miss my flight. So I was saying in my mind, if you miss your flight, what will happen? We don't have time, we don't have time, we don't have time. So every one of us, we value our time. There are many times that you need to catch up with the office. Those of us teachers, is it 7:30 or 7 now? Then you are running. They must not cut. There's a particular amount that they used to cut, right? Those of us company workers, there's a particular amount if you come late that they will cut from your money. So everybody's word is on the run. The same way you need to be on the run in life. Because you have just but a little time on the face of the earth. So hear this. You don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. You have now. Tell your neighbor you have now. Meaning you need to live your life with so much urgency. Because some of us, the way we live our life, it's as if we have a spare life. So you see somebody is just careless about life and say it is my life. Yes, it's your life, but Apostle saying your life is vapor. You have just a short time. And within that short time, there are things that God wants you to achieve. And if you don't achieve it, you have failed God. One of the things that must not happen to you is for you to fail God. I just have one life to live, and it must glorify you. I am yours for all time and for all and all. Sing, I just have one life.
I just have one life.
And he must glorify.
And it must glorify.
I am yours.
I am yours
for all and time. And for all and all.
Sing,
I just have one life.
I just have one life.
And he must glorify.
And he must glorify.
Take your seat in God's house. Beloved, it is wisdom to live a meaningful life. It is wisdom to redeem the time. In Ephesians chapter 5, number 14 to verse number 16. Look at what the scripture says.
Verse 14. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light.
Yes.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
He said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. There are many of us that we have been sleeping through life. There are many of us that we have not taken one step to destiny. We are stagnant. God is saying, awake and walk circumspectly like a wise man. Don't walk like a fool, saying tomorrow, I will do it tomorrow. Procrastination is the thief of time. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Whatever I see in verse number 16, say, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Redeeming the time, in other words, make the best use of the time you have now. Make the best use of the opportunity you have now. Because you might not get it again. Bless God, several years ago, while I was in my teens, I came in contact with this knowledge that there are certain things I needed to do as a teenager. When I got to my 20s, there are certain things that I needed to do in my 20s. And I want to say it to you. That there are certain things you need to do in your teens, in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s. You don't have all the day to yourself. So Apostle James said, life is what? It's a vapor. In other words, life is what? It's brief. Note this. Living a meaningful life is what is required for every born again child of God. Living a meaningful life is what is required for every born again child of God. I want you to know that living a meaningful life is a major requirement for a believer. It's a major requirement. It's not an option. Meaning, as a believer, it's a must that you should live a meaningful life. It's a major requirement. It's not if I like, if you like. No, it's a major requirement. Several years ago, we had one of these guys in our old tent. The way I was pressing him on the matters of destiny, so one of the days he got angry. He said, sir, leave me alone. It's not everybody that will succeed. Me, I don't want to succeed. And in our old tent, I had this anointing to force everybody. You must succeed, though. You must. Why will you tell me that it's not everybody? You must succeed. And I want to say to everyone hearing the sound of my voice, you must succeed.
Amen.
Can your amen be better than that of your neighbor?
Amen.
So living a meaningful life is a major requirement as a believer. It's not an option. Now let's look at truth about life. Let's look at truth. What are the truths about life, or facts about life? Truths about life. Point number one, life is a gift. Listen to this with an anointing on it today. Life is a gift. Beloved, the life you are living today is because God gave you that life. The life you are living today is because God has entrusted breath into your nostrils. So life is a gift. Nobody wrote an application letter to wake up this morning. I remembered the Bible said, you shall know the truth and truth shall set you free. So say the truth and you'll be liberated. It was my wife that woke me up in the night to pray. I was very tired. The tiredness was raised to the power of 100. So, we had VG. So while she was praying, she finished her prayer and tapped me and said, sir, your alarm rang. You didn't wake up the first one. Now, it has rang again. He said, come on. So, sir, it's time. Now, she was the one that tapped me, but it was God that made me to wake up. Many of us, it was your alarm clock that rang. Then you stood up. Life is a gift. Meaning this morning there were people that they rushed to the mortuary. But here you are held and seated down, smiling over those. During the praise section, I saw the way you were not taking it funny. You were giving your best. That's the more reason why you need to dance more. Life is what? It's a gift. When I hear people say, you will see, I will deal with you, it's when God wakes you up the next morning that you can deal with that person. A man of God said, and I quote my mentor, Professor John Lobeshi, he said, anytime we sleep, we are practicing death. And I agree with him, because when you lie down to sleep, there are many of us that when you go to the bed now, in less than 2 minutes, the Lord has helped you. You have already gone. Bro, you just slept 5 minutes ago and now you are snoring. 5 minutes ago. Life is what? It's a gift. Either you know it or not. Life is what? It's a gift. Now note this. Life is a gift. Because of that, constantly appreciate and acknowledge the giver of life. Now, coming to terms with this revelation that life is a gift, we are to appreciate, we are to acknowledge the giver of life. You are to acknowledge the giver of life. That leads us to number two truth about life. Life is a trust. In Luke chapter 19, verse 12 to 13. Then we're going to jump to verse number 15. Luke 19, verse number 12 to 13. Then we'll jump to verse number 15. Yes.
Verse number 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded the servant to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading.
Now, where we just read is the account of the Lord having some servants. And this was what he did. He gave them pounds and went on a journey. Then a time came where he returned back and he called all of the servants, come and give account of the pounds that were given to you. Life is a trust. God has entrusted life into your hands. And he is going to return back to ask how far and how you use the life you are living. Very important. He's going to ask. So God gives us life on the note of he has entrusted it into our hands and we will not misuse it. But you will agree with me that there are people on the face of the earth, you see people smoking away their life. Now, do you know what? Doctors said this, and the doctors that said that when you see people smoking, what the car is doing, the exhaust that comes out of the car, let your attention be here. The smoke that comes out of the exhaust of a car is the same thing that man that's smoking, the same thing that he's doing. Smoking is loins. That's why they said smokers are liable to what? Meaning he's wasting the life which God has given to him. A young lady that said, okay, my own is prostitution. I want everybody to sleep with me. Even spirits, I've slept with them. All kinds of, there are people that their lifestyle is prostitution. Now such a one is wasting her life. And those men that every night, they're just picking ladies' hangers. Picking ladies all around. What they are doing is very, very simple. They are wasting their life. So hear this. Everyone will give account of his life someday. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. Hebrews chapter 9,
Verse number 27.
Yes.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
It is appointed unto men three times to die. Is it what's in your Bible? No, once to die. As soon as they die, they show up before God. It's time for judgment. Is that your Bible? Look at Revelation, the book of Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 verse number 12.
Yes. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open.
Yes.
And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works.
John, in the island of Patmos, he had an encounter with the heavenlies. And it had this to say. He said, I saw the dead, meaning the people that died. You have loved ones that died 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Even before you were born, you heard of them, your grandparents, your great-grandparents that died. So, John said, I saw the dead, both small, both children, both the poor, both the small in stature, those short men, those dwarf. I saw them, they were standing. And those tall men, rich, wealthy, they were all standing before the God of the whole earth. Meaning a day will break upon you where you will stand before God. Pastor Victor will stand before God. See, we must constantly remind ourselves of this. That day will come, you will give account of your life. Now look at what Apostle John said. John the Beloved. He said, and the books were open. And a black book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book, according to what? To their works. Meaning whatever we do on the face of the earth is being recorded. The way you came late to church and to tent is being recorded. The way you are serving God with passion is being recorded. The way you are giving your best to your service to God is being recorded. The way you are serving God sluggishly is being recorded. And everyone was judged in accordance to what was written concerning him or her. So there's a video capturing you, which you don't know. That time that you meandered, you showed in the video. Now, it's not like the media team. That okay, if somebody is doing something this side, they will not capture it, they will capture the real scene, right? But there's a camera, a worldwide camera, it's capturing everything we do. So, those persons that when they see the pastor, they do the right thing, and when they're on their own, they do the wrong thing. Know that you give account. Now, if you know this, you will live your life meaningfully. You had the opportunity to go to school. Then you say, no, I don't want to go to school. You will give account. You had an opportunity to become all that God wants you to become. Then you say, no, I don't want to become it. It's like so many ladies in the crowd. God has been calling you that you're going to be a pastor's wife. You say, pastor's wife killed you there. It's not me. I refuse. That all these things that people are against pastor's wife. I don't want it. You give account. Only hearing it alone in the spirit, only for God to open your eyes to it, you give account. There are people that didn't know. That's why they didn't become pastor's wife. You knew. And you said no. You give account. When we come in contact with this truth on a constant basis, everyone must become serious with God. Pastor Victor, why are you passionate about what you do? I will give account. See, hear this. Even though nobody is supervising you, supervise yourself. And know that there's God in heaven supervising you. So constantly do the right thing. Constantly be on the move, pursuing destiny. There are many of us that God has told us that through us, millions will come to the kingdom. Through us, billions will be saved. People will be saved. Uncountable. And we are not going out to win soon. So, I wonder the report you are going to give. There are many of us that you are discouraged. And you are saying, Even God too, no. Because of God did not answer my prayer. On that day, people like apostles will stand on me. And you say, 3 times was I stoned. They flogged me 40 stripes, but I was still standing. Your own is because of shoe. Then you say you are not going to serve God. Because of you didn't get married. It's because of the husband did not come. The wife, you proposed to several people. They say no. You say my own is at all. Let me just go back and live my life anyhow. That the people like Job will come around and say, I was sick. There were boils all over my body. But I ran the race to the end. Which excuse are you going to give? John the Beloved, we enjoyed his write-up. John the Beloved was in the island of Patmos. Meaning, this guy, they put him in red oil. He could not die. So they said, okay, let's put him in something that we call in our day and time, evil forest. So they kept him there. And he said, let me write Revelation. Started writing Revelation. What is it for another man that's a discouragement that he doesn't want to serve God? For another man, that's what is pushing him to serve God. Hear this. The life you are living, God entrusted it into your hand. In other words, I gave you because I know you will make use of your life well. So God have trusted you. It's just like now. Minister Dan, please come. Then I trust this Bible to Minister Dan. I say, please, take Minister Dan. This is what God has done to every one of us. Now he can decide to put it on the ground. Many of us, we have carried our life, we have put it on the ground. Life is an entrustment. Lift your right hand to heaven and say, Father.
Father,
I receive grace.
I receive grace
to live my life.
To live my life
in accordance
to your will. To your will
for my life.
For my life.
Lift your voice as you pray that prayer. I just have one life to live. It must glorify you, Lord. I just have one life to live. And it must glorify you. Take your seat in God's house. Truth about life. The truth about life, number 3. Living a balanced life is the greatest form of wisdom. That's the third truth you need to know. Living a balanced life is the greatest form of wisdom. We have seen that life is a gift, and we have seen that life is an entrustment. God have entrusted life into our hands. So number 3, living a balanced life is the greatest form of wisdom. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 verse 8. We are going to use the Amplified version.
Verse number 8.
Yes.
When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine.
When you produce much fruit, that is when God will be glorified. Write this down, never forget it. Beloved, bearing and producing fruit in every department of your life is very important. Bearing and producing fruit, note my choice of word, in every department of your life is very important. Spiritually, in your finance, in every aspect. Now, I want us to replace the word fruit for result. Write the word fruit. They write in bracket, result. Now look at King James. Now what did King James say? In John chapter 15 verse 8.
John chapter 15 verse 8.
Yes.
King James. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
So how is your Father glorified? When you bear much fruit. Not some fruit. Much. Not some. Now, somebody will say, I am doing well academically. No, the Father wants you to bear much fruit. Spiritually, financially, academically, intellectually, in your place of work, all around, much fruit. Meaning, what makes God to be happy is when you bear much fruit. When you bear much fruit, that is when God is glorified. If you hear, say amen.
Amen.
So every department of your life needs to be in order. So right now, hearing the sound of my voice, that area of your life that's not in order now is what you should be praying. Lord, put this area of my life in order. There was a particular time of my life, my spiritual life was up. And I knew that by the things that God said to me, I needed to go to the forums of the university. I needed to graduate. I needed to go for my master's, my PhD, and all of that. And the Lord said, for the now, pay attention to your spiritual life. I paid attention to 11. Then I said, Lord, this good thing, I must go. So I went into it. There's a particular time of my life that the scripture came face to face with me that it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make a help meet for him. No, there's an anointing in that area. It's not good. See, because there was a particular time of my life that I went to work and I came back. And we boiled yam, I and my friend. Now, yam that we're supposed to be patient and just sit down for, is it 20 minutes or 30 minutes? So, we decided to go and stay. There's a way you are tired, then you stay around the side of the bed and just say, Lord, help us. Lord, help. Before we discover, I slept up. My friend slept up. We woke up our prayer time. The yam, that one is roasted yam now. God helped us. Was, the fire was still helping the thing. The pot was as red as anything. As I was standing up, Jesus, him too, was standing up. Jesus! We were running to the kitchen. We saw roasted yam. So that scripture came back again. It's not good for a man to be what? So the time must come in your life where you must. What I mean must. Settle that aspect of your life. If you are here, say amen. Take your seat in God's house. Note this. Beloved, we are called to live a balanced Christian life. So pay attention to the following. I want to give us a proper list now. We are called to live a balanced Christian life. The God have called us. He said, I am glorified when you bear much fruit, not some fruits. So now let me list the areas now that God will want us to bear much fruits. Much fruit. Number one, your spiritual growth. Spiritually, God will have us bear fruit. Now, when we talk about your spiritual growth, we're talking about your prayer life, your fasting life, studying of God's word, living a holy life, your love for God, your service to God. All of that captures your spiritual life. Number two, God will want us to be healthy. Third John, say, for which above all things that ye prosper and be in good health. So God will want you to enjoy good health. So number one, pay attention to your spiritual growth. Number two, pay attention to your health. Have you heard people say disease not the key Africa? So you see a brother drinking one kind of water that's very dirty. Another one said, don't worry, disease not the key Africa. We know the key also. It's very wrong. Now hear this. You must have grown stature in God before you can say, okay, I don't take drugs. See, there are levels of faith. See, now don't hear fathers of faith like Bishop David Oyedepo. That man has been the faith for a very long time. He has grown with God. He has stature in God. So people like that, they don't take drugs. Meaning, God renews their body. When he said he takes communion, and his body is okay. So brother, you are still coming up and you are sick. Now you have prayed for 1 week. Can I advise you? go to the hospital now. Go and do check up. Now, my faith is more than your own. Now, there's a bargain. Now, when I got married, part of the truth that my spiritual father sat me down and he told me, say, Pastor Victor, I know you are a faith man, but any day your wife said, headache is worrying her, this is worrying her, take her to the hospital, because I know you. You have not been sick, so you think that everybody too will not be sick. Any day your children are sick, after you have prayed for them, use medicine to confirm it. Now, when my father, when he said that, my spiritual father, when he said it, do you know what ran through my mind? Which kind of cancer is this? Okay. So when our first child came, there was a day I prayed all the prayer for that young man. I prayed for apostle, lay hands, pray. You are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Then I noticed he was vomiting more. So that wisdom that God's man gave to me, we applied it today. I trust my wife, since she's a medical, so she has already started her ministry. Meaning between the prayers, I will confirm it. Now, we are not discouraging those that have built their faith, but we are saying, there's a saying that health is what? Is wealth. So constantly check yourself and make sure that you are healthy. Have you seen some persons that, you know, this thing is not, the thing not used to show on the face. You see some persons, they are fat, plumpy, but only them knows what is going on inside. So we want to say constantly take care of yourself. Eat good food. Don't be eating indomie, spaghetti, sweet, chewing gum. That's not food. Mineral and cake. Eat good food. If you are here, say amen. So take care of what? Your health. Now, after fasting, please break well. I said what? Break. See, my wife understands this language very well. All my when anytime I'm ascending high, I know that there's a consolation. Because by the time I'm coming down, there's destructions. So if I as a pastor that I live my life fasting, but when I'm breaking, I must break well. So brother, don't live your life with sugar and gari. Then you say, I just like it. I just like it. What a life. And sister, don't live your life on biscuit. Where are those biscuit sisters? Don't live your life on biscuit and spaghetti. Indomie. Constantly say, I like it or I like it. No. The Lord will give us understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Then look at, pay attention to your academics, to your education. Now on this, you will have to invest a lot. I remember that before graduating, anytime I pay school fees, I used to keep the teller. So I was calculating how much I spent in school. That thing was 900 and something thousand there. Say, not to talk about the handout we bought, the one you downloaded. The transport to you. But hear this. It pays to go to school. So please pay attention. Now if you can read and write, hear this. Oh God. There are people that are in National Open University today that are bus drivers. Their parents did not train them in school, but they told themselves it's a matter of determination that I will go to school. So you see them, they are there. You see people in modern market, Wurukun market, because National Open University is work and learn. So as you are working in your office, we know several bankers that are there. So they read at home. It's only time of exams and seminars that they show up. And seminar can be 2 days. You present, you go back to your office. Then you write exam. Once it's exam, exam is like 1 month plus. Now you see Minister Emmanuel Kwe and Pastor Excel, they are doing ministry, they are doing business, but they are there. Meaning they are maximizing their time. You see them doing ministry, but they are there still learning. So I want to recommend and I want to say to everyone, you have done your first degree, go for your master's. You have done your master's, go for your PhD. Done your PhD, then write books so that they can award you as a prof. be at the peak in your field. Tell your neighbor, be at the peak in your field. Then number next, that should be number four, right? Now pay attention to your finances. See, on this matter, we can't overemphasize it. See, my house rent, I'm still trusting God to build my personal house. See, at the end of the year, the landlady will look at me and say, Pastor, good morning, sir. Celebrate your grace, sir. Then since she cannot tell me, she will send a text. Say, Pastor, it will interest you to know that it's next month, oh, that God needs to use you to bless me. Do you understand? Meaning, it's time to pay your rent, sir. No, they are church English, right? She said, it's a believer. So, it's time for God to use you to bless me. The school that my children attend, as soon as they just resume school, they will write the PTA letter, put the school fees, and say, give to daddy. They'll give to all the children. So even though your father is a pastor, this is not pastor school. Take the PTA letter, go and give to pastor. All of the children, they will give to them. And you know how children, how they are. Even though you are in the dealing with someone, as soon as they walk in, daddy, how are you doing? High school today? Fine. He will just remove the PTA. This is straight. Daddy, our teacher said we should give to you. But when you look upon it, you are seeing the school fees. It's not tongue that they use in paying school fees. It's money. The clothes you are wearing today, you have to pay money for them to give it to you. So anyone that trivializes the issues of finances, the person will pay for it dearly. Have you seen children that are hawking things on their head? Ladies, then before you discover all this pout, take advantage of them. Now, what will make a child to hawk something on the road? Their parents did not pay attention to their finance. So now they have to use their children for cover up. If your children must not hawk things on their head, you be serious with your life. If our own parents, they didn't give their best to us, we should give our best to our own children. The practicality of life. We should give our best to our own children. Now, I heard somebody saying, he said, this one that these children of nowadays, they wanted to carry them to school. In our own time, we used to trek for several hours. Is it the fault of the children? Is it not God that sent you to that family? What concerns them? Now, your children right now, carry them to school. Drop them. Daddy, are you dropping us today? Ajebo, are you dropping us today? Daddy, that thing is hungering me. Have you carried children out? Everything is hungering them. Carry them to the market when they see toy. Before you start, this one I've already run into it and carried. Daddy, I like this. We must pay attention to our finance. It's a sad story I heard, and it troubled me. A lady told us that the mother, there was no hope of any money. And there was a particular man at their neighborhood that had money and has been eyeing the woman. You know, those men that their heads are not correct, that they need deliverance. And has been told, this is a married woman. Then you two are a married man. What are you looking for again? Then this woman went and said, please borrow us this money to feed this an issue and things like that and things like that. Then this man said, you give what you have to get what you want. This woman, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. Which kind of rubbish is this? But as time goes on, when the pressure of feeding became much, when children started crying, the husband was not bringing anything at home. Hustle now, sir. And he told the husband that this is what this neighbor had been saying. Oh. The man said, God forbid. But when hungry was too much, this man told his wife, go and sleep with him. What a sad story. This woman, you have killed a man if you even touch his wife like this. Thought more of sleeping with another. He said, I give you my consent, go. Now what will bring a man to that point? He didn't pay attention to his finance. when his mate, when they were hustling, he was playing. When the mate of that woman, when they were doing their best, that no. See, that's why you must not rest at this point of your life. Part of the prayers that you are praying for souls, the way we pray for souls, the way we pray for kingdom advancement, the same way we should pray for our finances and press to see how God will set to us. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to live in your ways. Oh Father, help us to live in your ways.
Teach us to number.
Teach us to number days.
Teach us.
Teach us to live in your ways.
Oh Father,
oh,
help us.
I want us to note this as we begin to tie up for the first service. We said pay attention to your spiritual growth, number one. Number two, we said pay attention to your health. Number three, we said pay attention to your academics, to your education. Then we said number four, pay attention to your finance. Then number five, pay attention to your family life. Every married woman, love your husband. Husband, love your wife. Relate well with your husband. Relate well with your wife. Love your children. Relate well with them. See, there's some truth that the Lord taught me, even in recent time, that everybody can leave you. The only person that will not leave you, married man, is your wife and your children. Mommy, every other person can leave you. One of the persons that will not leave you is your husband and your children. Those ones will follow you. So, wisdom demands that the people that are the most important persons in your life, pay attention to them. Mommy, if you want your husband to live long, pray for him. If you want your husband to succeed, intercede for him. Pray for his business. I've discovered that God answers the prayers of women more. Now, I have said it countless times that women, they are the last born of God, right? Right? How did God create Adam? From dust, from gravel. Gravel. How did God create Eve, the woman? Just allowed Adam sleep and carry the rib. Finish work. So they are the last born of what? God created everything. Women were the last person that God created. So they are the last born of what? So mothers, pray for your husband. Whatever things you see in his life you don't like, pray it out. And I saw that God hears the prayers of mothers for their children more. You heard them in your womb for 9 months, so give your best. Pray for them. So pay attention to what? Your family life. All the husbands in the house. Men are in sizes. Life is in phases. Men are in sizes. From time to time, take them out. Take them out. That day, drop every macho thing and laugh. Play. Now, somebody saw a picture that we're doing on your marks. My wife was standing here, I was standing here, and the children. On your marks, get set, go! So everybody was running. Guess who went first? Who reached that place? It should be me now, not my wife or the children. Hallelujah. Very important. Then we had to start up a football match. When I kick to this person, to my wife, she knows how to play ball in the spirit. Then she gives, then she passes it to the next person. Then destiny will, that was, now that time was time to bond. We said, okay, we have done ministry today now. Let's. Remember when we went to Tito? There's a way the children, they were drinking the yogurt. And when we wanted going, wisdom said, we are not going anywhere. That day, we are not going anywhere. We are going to stay here. said, no, we'll come back another time. So anytime we're passing there, daddy, see that? Let's go. Now, there are times that every married man, you carry your children out. Now, on Christmas Day, it's a very good thing. Now, after we are done with Christmas service, I take them out. With my suit, everything, we are there. As they are doing the lilo, daddy! Continue. Now, for the children, those are the things that interest them. Passing around City Bay, they will show you, daddy, this is City Bay. I say, I know. But today, we are going to the ministry. Hallelujah. So pay attention to what? Your family. Then business. I want to encourage. Yes, another aspect that you need to pay attention to is to business. Your business. Every born again child of God should do some levels of business. Either large scale or small scale. Because when you sell a thing, money comes to you. When you buy a thing, money leaves you. At every point in time, do business. Either you do it or your wife should do it. Buying and selling. So all the businessmen and women, give your best to your business. Very important. Give your best to your business. Then hear this. I want to summarize business, handwork, to that word, career. Give your best to your career. That's the best word for us to use. So after family life, you write career. So it's either you're working in the office, in the government parastata, or you're working in the company, or you're doing your personal business, or you're doing a handwork, or you are into ministry. You have heard this time without number that ministry is military. In other words, ministry is higher than military. If you see, have you fasted for, have you done 3 days dry, 7 days dry? That's when you know that it is a military work. Have you preached in 4 places one day? That's when you know that it's a military work. So whichever sector that God has placed you, give your best to it. As we try up this afternoon, I want you to note this. That your life is either bringing glory to God or is bringing disgrace to God. As we are all seated, it's either my life or your life is bringing glory to God or is bringing disgrace to God. So if my spiritual life is not in order, if my finances is not in order, have you seen brother transport, sister transport? Have you seen people that they call brother transport? Meaning, every time he comes, he asks for transport. So they call him brother what? Transport. They left his name. The way they call blind Bartimaeus. His name was not blind. It was his condition that gave it. Now, in order for people not to label us by some certain names, in order for your friend not to say, I don't tire for you, then pay attention to your finance. So, in order for you not to bring disgrace to the name of God, your own are just the praying tongues, nothing about your life. Your life is just like that. But there are others. And people look at them and say, Kai, this is my role model. The question is, why is he your role model? I like the way he's serving God. And I like the way he will ride his Prado Jeep and come and park. And I like the way he used to, a brother come. God led it in my heart to give you 100,000. I like that brother. What about brother Mazi? I don't like him. Why? You know, that one that doesn't remember anybody. Are you seeing it now? Now the reason why they like brother Emeka, the reason why they like brother Godwin, the reason why they like brother Hutch is because they are giving. So that's to say that there are many persons that will love you if God has blessed you. Remember that it was the elders of the Jews that went to meet Jesus. I said, there's a noble man in this our city. He's sick. This man loves us and loves our people and have built us a synagogue, a church. So they went and called Jesus and said, please come and pray for this man. And I thought that Jesus would say, no. Jesus carried his iPad and went and said, let's go and pray. It's in your Bible. Jesus went straight to go and pray. Meaning when you are blessed, you bring more glory to God. You bring more glory to God. Now when we say we want to go on cable, we want to be on air, the pastor is not the prayer point. It is handled. We are going to pray this afternoon. My life will not bring shame and disgrace to the name of God. Jump to your feet, everyone. As we lift up our voice, as we make demand, that my life, that your life, will bring glory, will bring praise to the name of God. Lift your voice as we trust We enter into the next dimension of healing and deliverance and the prophetic. We need to clear this out. You are in this service hearing the sound of my voice. You know and you know. All eyes closed. All heads bowed. You know and you know that Jesus is not happy with your life. Pastor, if the trumpet will sound now, I will not make it to heaven. Wherever you are, I want you to please place your right hand on your chest. I want you to place your right hand on your chest. I have decided to serve Jesus. Place your right hand on your chest.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have
wherever you are, you want to surrender your life to Jesus. Place your right hand on your chest.
Jesus.
The reason why God brought you here today is so that you can surrender your life to Him. Place your right hand on your chest.
Jesus.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
No turning back.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
To follow Jesus. This afternoon is that time. Place your right hand on your chest. You want to serve Jesus.
To follow Jesus.
You are saying, Pastor, pray for me.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
You are saying, Pastor, pray for me. I've been battling with one addiction or the other. Pastor, pray for me. I want Jesus to help me. I want to surrender all to Jesus. Wherever you are, place your right hand on your chest, all eyes closed, all hands bowed. You're going to pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I come to you today.
I come to you today.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
From this moment.
From this moment.
I leave my old ways.
I leave my old ways.
I know. You died on the cross.
You died on the cross.
For my sake.
For my sake.
Today.
Today.
I receive. The free gift.
The free gift.
Of salvation.
Of salvation.
From this moment.
From this moment.
I promise. To serve you.
To serve you.
With the whole of my life.
With the whole of my
Thank
life.
You, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For accepting me.
For accepting me.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now you pray that prayer, please. Can you wave those and let Jesus see your hand? Wave those and let Jesus see your hand. Brother, God bless you. Sister, God bless you. Now, counselors, make way for them. Come to the altar. Come with your Bible, your bag, everything you came with. Come with your Bible, come with your bag. Counselors, make way for them. Don't be the last to come. Yes. I'm waiting for you. Brother, about there. Come. Yes. I have decided. Counselors, make way for them. Make way for them.
No turning back.
Now, you are standing before God's altar now. You are a special guest. Now, place your right hand on your chest now. With your eyes closed. You are going to repeat after me now. You are going to mean what you are going to do now. Now, anytime we stand before God's altar, it's wisdom for us to take it more serious. Gentlemen, several years ago, I made this prayer, and today I'm now a preacher. God has settled me. God has helped me. So you are going to place your right hand on your chest now and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Say it at the top of your voice. Say, Lord Jesus. Today, I come to you. Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
I stand before the altar today
to acknowledge
the Lordship
of Christ.
So Lord Jesus,
come into my life.
I am a sinner. Cleanse me from my sins.
From this moment,
I promise to serve you with the whole of my life. Thank you, Jesus,
for accepting me.
Jesus' mighty name. Now I'm going to pray for you. After prayer has been made for you, you are a special guest. You are going to sit in front. Then after that, we are going to get your names and your number. And we are going to be praying for you, for grace to be established. Lord, we pray for these precious ones. Everyone stretch up your hands to them. We pray for these precious ones. Release upon them grace to serve you.
Amen.
I decree that from this moment, it's from glory to glory and from grace to grace.
Amen.
The Lord take over your life and destiny.
Amen.
You are blessed.
Amen.
Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Now I'm going to shake hands with you one after the other. The Lord bless you. 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 Counselors, take them back to their seat. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. Everyone take your seat in God's house. If you were blessed, give Jesus a clap of friend. Above your head, give Jesus a clap of friend. Hallelujah.
believe you've been greatly blessed. To connect to the ministry, listen to Pastor Victor Onishi. Follow us on our social media platform on Facebook as Global Body Bearers Interdenominational Ministry Incorporated, on Instagram and Telegram at Global Body Bearers Interdenominational Ministry. For further inquiries, call 0816-594-8451 or 0903-246-3339 or 0703-814-3488. We love and celebrate you.